We're so happy you've joined us today. God wants to do so much for you and through you, and we want to hear about it. Send us your story to pastor@relevant316.com. If you want to support this ministry financially, hop on our website at relevant316.com. There you'll find different giving options to suit your needs. Once again, thanks so much for joining us today.
Y'all ready to get preached to? Some words from the Bible? Everybody like the Bible? Yay, a few of you, I kind of like the Bible. Okay. Well, guess what? I love the Bible. We're going to get into it. So, a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't here. I was on a trip for my job, and I was in the snow. I'm almost 52 years old, and I was in the snow for the first time a couple of weeks ago. Somebody came to me afterwards and was like, "Are you really 52 after first service?" I'm like, "No, I'm not." But I was in the snow for the first time, and we were hiking. It wasn't pleasure. It was all business. We were hiking. Snow was up to my waist, and it was crazy. And shout out for Black History Month, somebody. It's February. It's kind of Black History Month. I just want to let you in on a few things that, you know, black people are not into. So you're getting some secrets that I'm only revealing because it's Black History Month, right? Okay. Number one, we don't like the snow. Okay. I don't know if you knew this. We don't really like the snow. We don't really like the cold. We like hotter climates. Africa's a hotter climate. You know, that's why we make great slaves, you know. Black History Month. Too far? Sorry, that's it. Oh, starting off on ice, bro. Okay, speaking of ice, I was in the snow. It was terrible. Another thing black people don't really like is unseasoned chicken. Now, I don't eat chicken. I'm vegan, but we want you to bring on the sodium. Come on, somebody. Shout out for sodium. Yay. Thank God for some Lowry's, some chicken bouillon. Earth's about to shout over here. Ooh. All right. Another thing we don't do, we don't greet each other with the word pal, right? Hey, how you doing, pal? Good morning, pal. That's kind of not like a black person thing. We don't like pal, right? Another thing we don't do is we don't wear thong sandals, right? Like your toes all out. You got the thong between the big toe. Anybody seen those? We don't really mess with those. We got the Nike sandals, the Nike socks, right? Just giving you a little tidbits, right? But we don't like the cold. We don't like the snow. And I was in the snow for the first time, and I got to be honest, it was a little shaky. So my first day in the snow, we're going to play a quick video. This is what happened. All right.
Ooh. Foot falling in there.
Just trying to shoot a video for my kids.
Icy roads and slippery. Just walking up here just to test it. Just to see what we're doing. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's a frog. Oh, my dear. Oh, my dear. Oh, Jesus. Just fell. Oh, yeah. Bro, stop running. I just fell.
Okay. It's another picture of me trying to run and, kind of hit my face. Okay, you guys are laughing, but you got to pray for me because my back and my butt still hurt from that fall on black ice, you know. I don't know why they call it black ice. It's kind of, you know, Black History Month. Maybe because it's dangerous. Anyway, this is me and my guys. So we're on this trip, right? We're hiking in 14-degree weather. I'm trying to get on to my kids, and I blame my wife for that fall, too, because she was like, make sure you get videos for me and the kids. So my first day out there, I'm like, let me get this video. And I'm going down this little hill. We're trying to see where can we drive, and boom, I fell. Kind of hurt. But I was thinking about this trip, and I was thinking about how my job assigned four of us to go on this mission out of Shaver Lake and go into this environment that I'd never been in. We had probably like 180 electrical poles we had to hike to. It was kind of tough. We're called utility planners. Probably never heard of that. Me neither. And it was fun, right? And as we're out on the trip, and we were sent to be this amazing team, and this is point number one for those of you who are taking notes. The rest of you just try to remember this from memory. You won't. So, take notes. First point, a team can never function at its highest capacity when division is present.
I like that silence right there. I like that.
A team can never function at its highest capacity when division is present. And we were out on this trip, and I gotta be honest, I was relying on my Caucasoidian brothers, because they were like, I've been in the snow my whole life, bro. Come on, man, this is easy. Come on, pal. That's what they were, you know, telling me. And we were out there, and no lie, I thought, like, because I'm like one of the best at my job, I'm like, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna do my thing. And I got out there and I was nervous. Like, when I tell you fear struck my heart as we were driving up the mountain, and my buddy was like, that's black ice right there. I'm like, oh my God, I heard people slipping off mountains because of that, right? I was nervous. We had to get on snowmobiles because roads was closed. We're going on a snowmobile. My buddy going 50 miles an hour. I'm holding on to his stomach. He caressing his belly button like, bro, don't crash, man. I'm nervous. And we're out there. And I realized on that very first day, we are not going to make it if we don't operate as a team. We are not going to be successful on this trip if we don't operate as a team. And when we get to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, hope you guys can get there, we see Paul, and he's rebuking the Corinthians church. He's correcting them because there's division among them. And Paul is telling them this very same principle, that you are not going to function at your highest capacity if division is present. How many know you're on a team? Come on, somebody. We're on a team. As Relevant Church, we are on a team to change Riverside, to make Jesus' name known, to show the world that Jesus is relevant, and we're on a team. And this team will never function at its highest capacity if there's division among us. Even in your homes, husband, wife, kids, you're on a team. And if there's division, if there's arguments taking place, the team is not going to function the way it's supposed to function. So we have in Corinthians, I'll start around verse 10. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrelings among you. Have anybody ever seen arguments in a church? You're like, not me. I've never seen it. It happens. It says, Chloe reported to him that these things were happening. And in verse 12, it says, what I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. And look at the person next to you and ask them this next question. Paul asked them, is Christ divided? No, I need to hear. Come on, y'all gotta. Look at the person next to you and say, is Christ divided? He says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. Paul is rebuking the division and the arguments that are taking place in the church, because if there's division in a team, it can never function at its highest capacity. And God is calling for us to be united. And here's the thing, the only way we can be united is if we don't cling to any particular person, but we cling to Jesus. We cling to the mission that God has us on. I know this will never happen here, but imagine if someone says, I'm on Scott's team, and I don't care about what anybody else is doing, right? Imagine if someone said, I'm on Pastor Kevin Bugingo's team, and I don't care about what anybody else is doing, right? I know, it's just like, well, this can never happen here, Relevant. Okay, let me break it down a little further. Imagine if someone says, well, I serve in Path of Life, and I know they're doing stuff in regroups, but I'm not a part of that. Uh-oh, I came to preach. I don't know what y'all came for. Imagine if someone said, well, I serve in ReKids, so I don't know what they're doing inside. I don't need to go inside it. I don't need reserve, right? Paul is rebuking the Corinthian Christians because there was division among them and they were clicking up. Anybody ever seen cliques in church? Not so here at Relevant. Not so. Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Did I do anything special for you? And also, I was looking into this passage, and it says that most of them were from a lower social status, and some of them from a higher social status. And they loved to hear Apollos preach, right? Because Apollos was eloquent. And they said, you know what? I love to hear somebody that just sounds educated, right? And sometimes we pick and choose what we want to hear and who we want to hear from. We pick and choose what we're going to be a part of and what we're not going to be a part of, right? But a team can never function at its highest capacity when division is present. We're coming into the end of this But God series. I'm closing it out. And if I had a title for this series, I look at the person next to you and tell them, I thought it was about me. Come on. But God. I thought it was about me, but God. It's not about you. It's about the mission of Jesus, right? It's not about what you think you're going to do and comparisons that you're making to other people. Oh, I wish I was like them. Or I wish I could do the things they do. God is not calling you to compare yourself to anyone. He's calling you to be who he called you to be. There's something about the grace of God. There's something about the calling of God in our lives that will unite us if we really understood it. It will unite us if we really caught the actual implications of what it means to be brought into the family of God. And as we always go over the story, the prodigal son didn't come back to the father's house. And the prodigal son was not welcomed back home simply so he can be an individual. He was brought back into, he was welcomed home so he can be again a part of the family. Somebody say it's about the family. And Paul is talking to these Corinthians and he says, you guys are not operating as a family. You guys are operating with your own agenda. And so many times we go to God and we talk about what God is going to do for me in 2019. Whew, this is my year. How God is going to exalt my name, right, in 2019. Once again, I thought it was about me, but God. But God. And I was thinking about this. I was like, why are they acting divided, right? Why are they conducting themselves in this manner? And it was two things the Lord gave me. He said it was immaturity and pride. Oh, yeah. We're going to go there today, guys. You ready? It was immaturity and pride. First, immaturity. Sometimes God is calling us to grow because when you're immature and you have not grown, you can hear God, but you don't hear God. This is good, guys. Sometimes you know you need to grow because you hear God, but you really don't hear God. Right? Get my son, Risha. We're going to bring my son Judah up. Somebody give it up for my son Judah. Woo! I promise you, I had a dream about this weeks ago, like being on stage and having my son here to do this. Thank you, my beautiful wife. Yay, Risha, Vanna Black. There we go. There we go. There we go. Hey, boy. You good? Say hey. He not feeling y'all. He looking at y'all the way y'all was looking at me. So there we go. Okay. And I thought about it. I said, division can rise among us. And God is always speaking to us, right? God is always sharing with us what he's calling us to do. And sometimes we hear him, but we don't hear him, right? Sometimes it's because of our infancy in the walk. And that's why God is calling you to get in the regroup so you can grow up. Come on, somebody. Because it's hard for you to grow up when you're sitting in rows. Sometimes you need to sit in a circle and grow up because you're challenged by other believers, right? God is calling you to serve on Sundays because you need to grow up, right? And it's hard to grow up when you just come and you're a consumer and you're simply here and you leave and that's it. Oh, yeah, I know this is not going to get that many amens, right? But I was thinking about my son and I was like, God is always calling us to listen. And Paul was telling the Corinthians, he said, if you would just listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Listen. And I realized that it's in relationship. I can receive something without understanding it. Does that make sense? A little sense. I can receive what God is calling me to do and I can act and do what he's calling me to do, even if I don't quite understand it all. So sometimes we don't understand why God is calling us to do things. Sometimes we think that the division that we're causing is literally from God. Oh, yeah. We go in there. Right? But God is talking to us like this. Judah, I love you, son. Do you know how many people here prayed for you? Do you know the call of God that's on your life? Do you know you're amazing? Do you know what I'm trying to do for you? Do you know how your mommy and myself sacrifice so you can have food on the table? Do you understand? Do you know that we're sacrificing so you can grow up to be a mighty man of God? Do you know how much I pray for you? I love you. You're amazing. You're my son. I called you to truth and righteousness, and I'm going to teach you everything that I know. Do you understand? And some of you are like, what is this about? Okay, look, he's hearing me, right? But he's not understanding everything I'm saying. And sometimes God is calling you to move and conduct yourself because you heard something from the Father, and he's not concerned if you understood it all. Do you understand? God is speaking to each one of you. And here's the thing. Just close your eyes for 1 second. We're going to go deep right now. You ready? Close your eyes for 1 second. Think about that one thing you know God is calling you to do. Think about that one thing that you know you can just, you already envisioned yourself doing it for the kingdom, for the Lord Jesus, right? God is calling you to do that. And even if you may not understand it all, you have to respond. Somebody give it up for my son, Judah. Here we go. There we go. And I was looking at this passage. I said, these people were operating like my son, right? They were hearing what Paul was saying. They already knew that these things were not quite right. And if you don't think Judah can be divisive, trust me, he can be divisive. I come home, he'll be like, daddy. Reach and say, come here, son. He's like, no, daddy. Right? Or vice versa. I'm like, son, come to me. He's like, no, mommy. And the main point of this whole thing is God is calling us to hear him and do what he's calling us to do and to respond to what he's calling us to do without grumbling, without complaining, without division. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. So the question is what team are you on? What value are you adding to the team? Has your focus shifted to division? Can you hear directly and clearly what the Father is saying to you? The second thing that I want to share with you. Point number two, pride will always contaminate your wisdom, but God. Pride will always contaminate your wisdom, but God. In this passage, Paul begins to talk about how the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God, right? And how we often think that what we're thinking and what we're doing is the wisest and smartest thing to do. And that's pride. Pride will always contaminate your wisdom, but God. But God will show you that he knows more than you. Look at the person next to you and say, God is smarter than me. No. Really. Look at the other person and say, God is smarter than me. It's hard for God to use a know-it-all. Come on, somebody. It's hard for God to use you if you think you've already figured this thing out. The only way we can function at our highest capacity is if the team has no division and if our pride is suppressed and done away with, because we come to the Father and we say, I don't understand everything, but Father, I get you. I know I have pride, but you have shown me that you've called me to do something different for you. Paul says, around verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For a lot of people coming to church, it just doesn't make sense, right? Going to regroup, it just doesn't make sense. Giving your money to a building, right, is what they think. It just doesn't make sense. But how many know that our faith is countercultural? Our faith is countercultural. God told the disciples, they came and they said, there's other people casting out devils in your name. Lord, stop them. And Jesus says, I'm not going to stop them, because if they're not for us, if they're not against us, they're for us. God has called us to operate as one, united in his truth. And pride has no place. I like how Pastor Jonathan do it. That's my big bro in the Lord, right? So point number 1.5, 2.5 actually, is I had the wrong focus, but God. I had the wrong focus, but God. I think about like my marriage with my wife, and we got married young. So this year we'll be on 14 years of marriage. Give it up for my baby. Where'd she go? She left. All right. She's so honest with me and so truthful with me. She was like, babe, don't wear that medium shirt up there. I was like, okay. I like it. Because here's the thing, sidebar. I used to be buff, right? Back in the days. And I feel like weariness is like prophecy. Like one day you'll be back buff, bro. Right? But we share these things with each other all the time. And, you know, I love it. But I don't know if you know, but if you're married over a decade, there's going to come some times to where you may lose sight of why you're even married. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Some people say, brother, you are too honest. I say, listen, I feel free. I feel free. But there's so many times to where I forget on the times where we fell in love, and I forget our initial purpose with each other. I forget the times to where I couldn't go to sleep if I didn't hear her voice, right? I forget the love that we initially had. I forget, like, literally in Long Beach Jordan High School when we were younger, she was all over your boy. Jeremy, all over your boy. There she goes, she's back. It's the truth. Okay. I forget those times, and you go from a moment to where it's like, man, I can't go to sleep without hearing her voice, to if I hear her voice, I can't go to sleep. Is that too far? All right. Okay. Just checking. And the Corinthians were in this same place to where they initially signed up because they knew it was nothing but the sacrifice of Christ that brought them here. It was nothing but the love of God that brought them here. They knew that they were nothing of themselves and they had no reason to boast, right? Yeah. And later on, they started to think, well, you know what? I figured all of this out. And I have the answers. I know how this should go. But pride will always contaminate your wisdom. But God. And like I said, the title of this message is really where it comes home for me. Because there's so many things that the Lord has brought my wife and myself through. There's so many things that has transpired in 2018, right? That brought us here today. And that's why when I think about this text, I see how the Corinthians were thinking that it was about them. They were thinking that everything that was happening, it was about their own self-gratification. And I need you to really, if you don't remember anything else from this message, remember this one thing. I thought it was about me, but God. I thought the suffering was about me. I thought the trials was about me, but God. I thought the salary, and I love how he says, where's the debater and where's the philosopher, right? Because he's saying, like, so many people put so much faith in their degrees, right? They put so much faith in their salary. They put so much faith in their marriage. They put so much faith in all of their accomplishments. But it's not about you. It's about God using you to be a blessing to others. Come on, somebody. It's about God using you to transform someone because the Holy Spirit is working through you and you're nothing of yourself. It was a situation a couple of weeks ago to where our friends blessed us, right? And I was going through so much, right? I was going through, a lot. And a lot of times we say, like, man, certain things you shouldn't share, certain things you shouldn't share. But, okay, here's the story. You guys ready? Kinda? They're like, man, preach, bro. Get it out the way. Okay, I'll do it for you. So last time I preached in November, right? Jonathan told me, I need you to preach, go up, you know, it's going to be good. I'm like, bro, I got it. It's going to be good. Yes. And y'all remember last time I was bearing my heart. I was bearing it all. Because the next day after he asked me, I said, I'm going to take a nap and I'm going to get up and I'm going to start preparing for this mess and it's going to be amazing. And my wife woke me up and she's like, babe, I hear the alarm going off. I hear the alarm going off in the car. I'm like, what's going on? Right? I go outside. And you know, it's dark outside. So it's a gentleman outside next to my vehicle. And let's just call him the Repo Man, right? That was his name. I like that quietness right there. You guys are so sweet. Okay. Don't worry, it gets good. There's a gentleman outside. And he's looking at me like, because he's scared. I'm black. I'm dark. It's nighttime. He barely see me. You know, he says, I see teeth walking up. I'm like, bruh. You know, he's like, this guy looks like a ninja. Remember 300? What was those, like, ninja people called they fought? You know, the assassins, I think. And I got an assassin walking up. I was like, bro, you good, man? Let me just get my stuff out the car. You know, I need to get my stuff for work. He's like, okay. Whew, thank God. I think he really, like, said hallelujah at that moment. But so I'm getting ready to prepare for the message, and then the vehicle's outside on the tow truck. I go in, and immediately the depression hit. Like, oh my God, again. Here we go again, right? I'm stressed out. They're like, you got into this time to pay. The car's gonna get auctioned. And then I had to preach at the RMA to you guys, and I like totally tuned it out because God is good in the midst of any circumstance, right? And then we had this moment to come that they're gonna play on the screen.
My car's parked across the street.
I think this is your guy's. Stop. What? I think.
Mom.
This is your guy.
What? A truck? What?
It's my daddy.
So.
Hey. Amanda's already crying.
What the heck?
Henry's. I think we all agree Jay's not the best at rapping. We can agree on that. But we can all agree also that you guys are some of the greatest people we met.
Yeah.
And you guys have been a huge blessing in our lives, all of us who are here. So when we talked, I talked to my wife and I talked to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we decided we wanted to bless you guys. And so I've been pulling you along with your mom's car. But the whole time, bro, we went out, we got you a van, no payments, DVD player, it's all your guys', man. We love you guys, and we just thank you for being the blessing you are. You guys give so much, and this is the least we can do, and we just love you guys, so...
Give it up for friendship. Yeah. Turn the lights on so they can see me, guys. Okay. There we go. Got to be able to see him up here. That was one of the most amazing moments of our life, right? Because as we were trying to figure out what we were going to do and how we were going to work it out, God was already working it out. We had shared, you know, what was going on. Well, I had shared it with my buddy Ryan, that you see. We worked together. He got me a job through Regroup. Met him. Hey. Right? And I shared with him just to vent to my brother. I never had a clue what they were trying to do, right? And then Jonathan calls us over to the house, like, hey, I need you to counsel this couple with me. You and Reach come. Da, da. I'm like, okay, you know, some ministry. You know, I'm stressed out, but I'll give. And literally, we're sitting there at his house, and I'm like, bro, you said seven, bro. Tired. Got work tomorrow. We're sitting there waiting, and then we hear, you know, some people knock on the door and some carolers. It was right before Christmas, right? And it's like, we've been over there before. I've seen carolers around. So I'm like, oh, this is nothing. We go there and we see all of our friends, right? The relationships that we made here are relevant. And the people that we know love us. But we didn't know they loved us that much, you know? We go and I see them and, you know, they sound terrible, by the way. Just joking. You sound amazing. Put it like this. It wasn't all worship team people. So. But we see our friends there And no lie, I'm there and I'm floored because I'm like, what are we doing here, right? And they bless us with the vehicle, they bless us with the van, and it was an amazing moment in our life. And here's the thing: before that, you know, I'm stressed, I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do, and then God blesses us, encourages me and my wife, and now we feel encouraged from friendships, from community, to run in 2019, knowing that we're not alone, right? But here's the thing about it. I thought it was about me, but God. I thought it was about me. But God, as I was stressing and I was trying to figure out what we're going to do, it's just that the car is a whole heap of trouble going on. Me and my wife were just trying to respond to God's call to parent our kids in the right way. Oh, the plan is not going the way we thought it was going to go. How many know plans don't go the way you think they're going to go all the time? True. Right? And I'm wondering, how are we going to get out of this? And I'm thinking, it's all about me. Like, why me? Woe is me. And in that moment, literally God was like, you thought it was about you, but I'm here. I'm working it all out. Ryan told me after first service, he was like, what you don't know is, and here's the thing, he was like, what you don't know is that that moment blessed us more than it blessed you. I thought it was about me, Scott. But God. And what you don't know is that the humbling that that situation brought and the pain that that situation brought, I thought that was about me. But I had to realize as we've transitioned into this season of 2019 and the Lord has strengthened us and blessed us to be a blessing to other people, that it wasn't about me. It was about what God was calling me to. It was about what God was moving me to. And in your trials, you ready? Everything that you're going through and everything that's transpiring in your life, that may seem like it's just about you, but it's not about you. It's about God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians verse 26, he says, consider your calling, brothers. You ready? Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. He's saying, listen, you weren't really that special, guys. Right? But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. But God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. But God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might be able to boast in the presence of God. I don't care how much you've done. I don't care how much you've went through or have not went through. In the presence of God, you have nothing to boast about. And Paul, he quotes Jeremiah chapter 9 around verse 23. You guys want to know the only time God gives you permission to brag? Raise your hand if you want to know. Come on. There we go. Somebody's here. All right. Jeremiah 9 and 23, it says, and this is what Paul is quoting in chapter 1. It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands me and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Paul says, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. The only thing that God gives you permission to brag about is that you know him. I know that's good. The only thing God gives you permission to brag about is that you understand him and that you're in a relationship with him. This is why division doesn't make sense, because division is rooted in you and God is calling you to be rooted in him. This is why your pride doesn't make sense, because your pride is saying you know it all and God is saying you know nothing. Be rooted in me. Consider your calling. Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were rich. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were noble, but God. God calls us. And before you were created, before you were formed in your mother's womb, God had a calling for your life. Come on, somebody. God knew that you would be here today. God knew that you would need this word, this word. You thought it was about you, but God. And I'm thankful for everything that we went through now, right? I'm thankful for everything that transpired. I'm thankful for the pain. I'm thankful for the heartache. I'm thankful for the stress. I'm thankful for the pressure. I'm thankful for the obligations. I'm thankful for all of the responsibilities, because now I know that they're not about me. It's about what God is doing through me. And it's not about you. It's what God is doing through you. It's about how God is building you. It's about how God is moving you. It's about how God is transforming you to be a blessing to somebody else. When will we get past being selfish? When will we get past being comparing ourselves to other people? When will we get past being in our own self and getting into the self that God has created us to be? It's not about you. It's about what God is doing through you. And he says, I don't care what degree you have. I don't care how much money you made last week. I don't care about any of that. I don't care about your outfit. I don't care if your shirt is a medium or a large. Right? He says, the only thing I care about is that you know me. And that you understand that I'm moving through you and I'm transitioning everything in your life so that you can be a blessing to me. God is the only one that deserves the glory and the honor and the praise, not you. Look at the person next to you and say, not you. Not you. And everything goes wrong in your life when you think it's about you. Everything goes wrong in your life when you think that it's about how you can be shown to be this or that. And everything goes right in your life. Trust me, I'm a witness. When everything you do is centered towards pleasing the Father. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I thought it was about me, but God. But God revealed that my life was nothing without him. But God revealed that I was blessed to be a blessing. But God revealed that my pain and my shame has eternal purpose. But God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you so much. We appreciate you so much. It is an honor that we can come together and worship you. The world doesn't understand this worship. This is foolish to those who are perishing. The gospel is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who have been called, to us who have been redeemed, it makes sense. It's your wisdom that we're here so that we can be, so that we can learn, so that we can be challenged to submit ourselves to you, to surrender ourselves to your truth and your wisdom, to submit to the realization that it's not about us. It's about you. So bless us, Father. Bless us, God, and transform us. Bless us to be a blessing. Bless us to interpret our pain and to interpret our trials as lessons and a gift from you. Bless us to go into this week and into this year knowing that it's not about us, but it's about everything you're calling us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on, did you get something good out of God's word this morning?
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We'd love to stay connected with you. Find us on Facebook and on Instagram at Relevant Riverside. We hope you have a great week.